Just let me exhort you for just a moment over the offering, and then we're going to go right into the Word. Jesus, and I love this. I've taught it for years, but Jesus taught in Matthew 5, 6, 7. I think it's in Matthew 6. In Matthew 6, he taught three winds. Three things that are really predetermined in your life once you get born again. They weren't matters of choice. There were matters of choice. There were matters of choice of when you do it. They weren't matters of choice of if you do it. That's the biggie. They weren't if you do it, it's when you do it. And you guys know this, but it's real fun to remind each other of this. The first win was when you give your alms. Now, being very, very truthful to the Word of God, alms specifically wasn't church giving, it was giving to the poor. But the truth, that dynamic of giving still holds true, whether you're giving to the poor or giving to the church. So it wasn't like, I'm going to pray about giving. You can pray about giving, and we're not the Holy Spirit. You should pray, Lord, how much, and when is it time? It's different for all of you. I thank God for there are some weeks we'll have a Wednesday night, and I'm not saying this to the detriment of anybody. There are some Wednesday nights where there's nothing. I mean, there's nothing that comes in, and that's fine. Thank you, Lord. I said it was fine. You know, I said I'm not arguing with you. But it's because it's the rotation of many of you where you're, you know, as far as what you're giving and what you have come in. And then, you know, the following service, it'll just be a wonderful blessing. And I say that to say many of you are on a schedule like you it's not applicable, or it's not best for you to give every service or every, you know, even every week. I don't really know. I don't like to know necessarily who gives what, but it's like sometimes I'll get a good, hey, something or somebody, and I was like, glory to God, you know, that. And I realized that was a windfall, or it was like something that you had been waiting for maybe a month to come in, or, you know, based on however your employment is or whatever. So thank you, whether you are a weekly giver or a monthly giver or however, but you do know this, according to Matthew chapter 6, that the win is, it's something inside of you. It's something that I can't tell you I can't be the Holy Spirit, I can't tell you how much, and I can't tell you the win as far as the exact time. But I do know that God places within all of us. The same thing is that, you know, the next couple things, the next couple of wins is when you pray, you know, and or when you fast. So those things are, I don't think anybody in here would think about, I'm going to ask the Lord if he wants me to pray. That'd be, you know, based on, if you're coming here, that'd be, you know, pretty ridiculous. We know that God wants us to pray. The only win that we ask him is what kind of schedule, you know, what's best. And sometimes that'll change from day to day based on what you have to do for your family or what you have to do for your employment. But it's still the same. Hey, you know what another win was? He said, when you fast. We will never, ever, ever. Now, we've been hearing a lot of good things about how done it is the moment that you get born again and our dominion over sin by the new nature. But we also understand that we live inside a villain called our bodies. And as long as we live in these bodies, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 9 that when he goes away, we will need to fast. And that we will need to take this old wineskin, and we will need to, and right here in Matthew chapter 6, he said, when you fast. In other words, well, that's what we're really, that's the intermingling with wisdom in this verse is what we teach you here from week to week, month to month, year to year, is how to get there, how to get to your destination. And it's not just one thing. We've got some real foundational things like praying in tongues and the Word of God, but also through the Word of God and through praying in tongues, there's other revelations of other avenues or other pillars that God has added to this, added to your walk. And if you intermingle, in other words, if you mix up or get involved and say, okay, how do I get to my, you know, desired goal? How do I get to that place? Well, let me say it this way, falling in love with Jesus. See, I believe that this is a true statement. And I believe that it can be backed up by the Word of God. God loves everyone the same. I know that. And if you're born again, your spirit was conceived, it was fashioned. Paul said to Timothy, you've not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. I believe that. I believe we all got out of the gate, out of the get-go, the same with a spirit of love. In other words, it has the capacity, it has the DNA to love people and God. But I just do not believe that all Christians love God the same. I just don't. I don't believe that they're not all Christians, and I don't just believe that it's just because their flesh is more dominating, but, and that is a truth, their flesh does, most of the time, that has to have an effect. But the more you will spend time with Him and pool that place of agape, you will fall in love more and more, which makes this walk, it doesn't make it less challenging in the sense that it's still going to come at you. A lot of stuff's going to come at you. But loving Him begins to be the motivation by which you will begin to intermingle yourself with all knowledge. In other words, what do I have to do to get there? If what I have to do to get there means more Word, I'll spend more time in the Word. If what I have to do to get there means more fasting, then I'll do that. Because we do know, how many of you know that if He is our Father and He is our Father, we know that because we've been born again. He really wants the motivation of our life to be through a love affair that we're having with Him. He really wants that. In other words, I want to love Him so much that I'm willing to lay down my life for Him, that I'm willing to find out what His agendas are. And we're not just talking about living above sin. That's where we need to be, all the hardcore stuff. But we're talking about living our life where that our self-expression is laid down. And we say, Lord, what is it that You want from me? And so out of that, I can tell you this, it will make it easier. The challenges won't cease, but if there's something inside of you that grows and gravitates more in love with Jesus, then you're going to find that there's a motivation there. There's a strength there. There's something that says, I will arise, and I will pray, and I will seek God in a hard time. Listen, there are two motivations. There is the motivation of love, and then there's the motivation of fear. Both of them are necessary. We find out from Jude that those that are in a place where they have fallen away and separated themselves and become sensual and devilish and all those things, he said that some we would save with compassion, by the love of God. Others we would save with fear, hating even the garments that were spotted by the filth of the flesh. In other words, we've been teaching for a good while that, and we're going to have to continue to teach as the church is looking at a time like it's never looked at before, a time where darkness has tried to creep into the church. And I'm not talking about just this church. I'm talking about the church, the whole church. And so what we are having to teach is old, which is the absolute truth of the Word of God. Like some things, somebody might say, well, you know, I get a choice in this. My Father gives me a choice in this. There's some things there's no choice in it. You don't have a choice in it. In other words, it's not a choice whether you can do certain things. Like, you know, the things that'll send you to hell if you keep doing them, or you can walk out of Christ. And the Word describes those in Galatians chapter 5, all those kinds of things. In other words, there is a message of fear where you got to put a fear in people and say, look, you can't do that. Now, that's a motivation. It's a motivation to say, I could be destroyed. My life could be destroyed. My family could be destroyed. And in the end, I could go to hell. That is a motivation. But that's not the motivation that we as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ should be living under. I mean, that should be part of our makeup. We should realize that those things are out there if we ever start going the wrong way. But really, what He wants us to be is in a motivation of love, where that we're loving Him more and more every day. And so that what we're doing for Him in the dying process is not a... It's not, we've escaped those things, and it's not a fear of being destroyed, but it's really a godly fear of not pleasing Him and wanting to please Him more than anything else. Hallelujah. Can I hear an amen? I can say an amen. Hallelujah. So Jesus described those places, and we went there. We won't go there this evening. In Matthew chapter 13, 44 through 46, the treasure that was hid in the field, that's just falling in love with Jesus. Part of that message, not all of it, but part of that message is just falling in love. The man that finds the treasure buys the field, and also the pearl of great price. We read that where he, that becomes the motivation of his life. See, God wants you waking up. I love that message that Jim taught, that God is good. And God is love, and God is faithful. That's our Heavenly Father. And for those of us who choose to live righteous and go forward in Him, that's how He treats us. And that's how He wants to treat everybody. Now, if a person in the church is in jeopardy of losing it all, then there's a fearful message. There is a fearful message. But that's not how we're supposed to live our life. We're supposed to live our life on the other side going forward into Him. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. So we mentioned the rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 22, and the idol in his life. And so the journey that we're on is this. God is coming. We are hopefully past the hardcore places of sin. We are hopefully past the places where the change that needs to take place in us is the last part of change that will give ourselves over to everything that God wants us to be. Self-motivation, variances that would not that would be partialities. What are you talking about, partialities? Not encompassing the entire body of Christ in love, or loving people in slices. We can't love people in slices. Terry, I love most of what I see about you, but not really. So going into that last, wherever we're at, you know, faith is described like this in Mark chapter 4. Faith is described as the blade, the ear, and the full corn in the ear. And that's the example of faith, and that's how it works. It works on a gradual place. But falling in love with God and turning our life all the way over to Him works in the same way. It's the 30, it's the 60, it's the 100, it's the blade, it's the ear, that's the corn. It's like, how do I get there? You don't get to a place of turning yourself totally over to God and saying, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done, by just waking up the next morning and saying, I want to do this. Desire is where it starts. But then you have to have a directive and say, okay, how do I get there? What am I going to do? And much of that is not, and I'm not saying, the five things that we teach here, praying in tongues, meditation of the word, fasting, worship, what's the next one? Confession. Or Jim puts it into four pillars. Pastor Tim talks about the seven. He adds co-laboring with the Holy Spirit and waiting on God. And but it's really all the same. But I'm not even talking about that as intermingling. We understand that. But I'm talking about desire separates us. Desire separates us. And you've heard me talk about this before, but it's so important is you know, what is your plan? What is, where are you at? What time do you schedule for the Lord? Where are you at as far as in the Word of God? What is the places that you can actually say, that's what God gave me, and that's where I'm at in the Holy Spirit as far as His leadership? Hebrews chapter 12, 1 through 3 says that we should be separated from the sin and the weight that so easily besets us. And do what? Run with what? Patience. The race that is set in front of us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I so desire with all of my heart to come to a place that I can mirror, by the grace of God, my forefathers in the faith. And I see what it took from them, and I don't know if it's going to take that from me as far as the giving of our actual physical life, but I do know this, that Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, all of them, they died before they died. Did you hear me? They died before they died. There was something in themselves was delivered all the way over to death, even before they gave their actual physical bodies in death. And I was going to read, and maybe we'll read in just a moment, some of the things concerning them. But let's turn real quickly to, you're real close to this in Proverbs. The next book that Solomon wrote was, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. The next one after that, Song of Solomon. It's, as I said, it's really kind of saucy in a certain sense. But it's wonderful. It's a love affair between, in a marriage situation, which is sanctified by the Lord. And the scriptures that we want to look at for just a moment is in chapter 3. Verse 1, by night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. I will rise now and go about the city in the streets and in the broad ways. I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. The watchman on the watchman that goeth about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? And it was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him, and I would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. We're not going to even begin. We can't even begin to try to go into all of the book of the Song of Solomon. It was a poetic song that was sung between Solomon and his bride. And it's the picture of Christ in the church. But with that scripture there, one of the things that I wanted you to see is the passion and the love that when she missed him in that intimate place, which he said, I sought him in whom my soul loveth, and I found him not. I by night on my bed I sought him. When she sought him in that intimate place, and he had was left the room, she got up and went to find him. And that's a picture of us wanting to find the Lord. If everybody that just said the name of Jesus was red hot and on fire, that's not the case. To find him, you've got to have passion. Now, it's very easy to get in the door. I confess that you are Jesus, that the Lord, forgive me of my sins. But to walk in a powerful place where the power rests upon your life and you're having intimate fellowship, where you can hear him in a crowd of people, where there's so much noise, but yet everybody can be talking and you can be talking to other people. And so oftentimes I'm doing it. I can feel it. And it's so wonderful because it's a very beautiful place. And you don't even know how to explain it, but you can be in a room with 1,000 people and yet you're really in that room with him. And that doesn't come unless you're willing. When he's not in that intimate place, now this is, and I can say this in a very modest way, she sought him upon the bed. She sought him in the bedroom. She sought him in that intimate place between husband and wife. And she was willing to go and find him. And that has to be the place of our life. That has to be the passion of our life. Jesus, I love you more than anything else. I love you more than children. I love you more than work. I love you more than my wife or my husband. I want to get to know you. I want to know you so much, Lord, is that you're a part of every thought in my life. You're part of every passion in my life. And really, it does get easier to do this dying process if you're in an intimate relationship with him. Now, you can go through this thing like, okay, you know, I want to be pleasing and I don't want the fire of heaven to fall on me, and so I'll do this just mechanically. God doesn't want us to do it mechanically. He wants us to be in a red-hot love affair with Jesus Christ, so that what we're doing is like, it really should have a joy to it. It really, when you're in love with your mate, your husband, your wife, there's a joy to it. And if there's not a joy to it, you got to work at it. You got to make it happen. You got to do the right things to make it possible. And the world that we live in today goes by feelings. And the church goes by feelings. If we don't feel it, we just don't do it. And here's where love goes to. Love is so strong. Those intimate fellowships with God are so strong that they will carry over during the hard times. They will carry over. Psalms 23, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Listen, the shadow of death is not just, it's not a physical death necessarily. It can be demons coming to destroy your life, but it can also be a willingness to you to walk through that valley and say, Lord, I'm laying down my flesh. I'm laying down my flesh. And, you know, you're walking down here in the valley, and on the mountaintops over there, there's all these protectors of your flesh. And I'm not talking about demons. I'm talking about protectors of your flesh as far as you are concerned. There's things inside of all of us that don't want to die. And there's things inside of everybody that, if mortification gets too close to it, it'll just back off. But we don't have to be afraid. Why? Because his end result is to lie us down in a green pasture and to lead us beside still waters and to bring us into a place where our soul gets real quiet and it says, Lord, whatever you want, that's what I want. And you're going to have all these protectors at times. You're going to have your flesh screaming with devils that sometimes come and know how to twist up the fire in your life. But listen, what we're seeking for is this. Find those places. Keep going, keep going, keep going. until you find those moments in time where the baptism of His love gets so strong inside of you that it impregnates something inside of you that'll carry you for the next however long it takes. Because even when you're walking through the valley, and even when it doesn't feel, I'm not talking about that you're going to always feel His love in a trial. Sometimes you're going to feel very absent from His love. Sometimes you're going to feel very, very absent from all feelings, like, am I even saved? But you know that the last encounter that you had, you can have every encounter every day just in the Word, the blatancy of the Word, and the blatancy of praying in tongues. But I don't know about you, but so much of my Christian life, especially in these days, are lived just on sheer faith. Just on sheer faith. Just on without, but guess what? You know why? One of the reasons why that I know that I just keep going in faith in the Word of God is because there's been times where my Father and the Holy Ghost and the Lord Jesus Christ have come in to my bedroom, come into my place, to my intimate chamber, and they've had such fellowship with me that it's really enough to last me the rest of my life. It really is. I just need to keep going in the Word of God. Keep staying in the Word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. So, we're in Song of Solomon. We'll read one more. I'm not an expert on the Song of Solomon, although I do know that there's intimacy, very strong intimacy of the love of God in it. Verses 4 and 5, who is this that cometh up from the wilderness? And here's where we get the song that we sing, leaning upon her beloved. I raised thee up upon the apple tree. There my mother brought thee forth. There she brought thee forth that bare thee. Set me as a seal upon thine heart and as a seal upon thine arm. For love is strong as death and jealousy is cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which hath a most vehement flame. And really he's just speaking, the word speaking there, of that burning desire, that strong burning desire to get to know Him and to be filled with Him more than anything else. Hallelujah. Are you glad? The blade, the ear, and the full corn in Mark chapter 4. This is what I'm talking about. You really, now if you want to say it this way, you've got to court the Lord. You do. If you're born again, that's all on His part. It's not, I would have conversations with Pastor Dave in the beginning, and he would say, Bronk, it's not how much He loves you, it's how much you love Him. And not all Christians love Him the same. But He's calling you, if you're hearing the sound of my voice, He's calling you to be in an elite group. And He's calling you to say, I want to court the Lord until all the things... Now see, it's okay to acknowledge that there are things that are protectors in our life. In other words, there's things that once we start going into Him... Listen, anytime, this is one of the things that you need to intermingle yourself with. This is the intermingling. Okay, I've got a desire. Okay, I want to separate myself. Okay, well then I'm going to intermingle myself with knowledge. Okay, what knowledge? Knowledge of this. If you start in, it's not always going to be easy to all of us. If you start in, you're going to have some real difficult times. If you know that up front, if that knowledge is in front of you, if you start in, your flesh is going to accuse you because it's going to be a protector. The enemy is going to use it at times to try to keep you from going to that place of real death and real intimacy. Your flesh is going to accuse you of the past. It's going to accuse you of present weaknesses. The enemy is going to come. If you know that it's going to be difficult, but yet you love Him enough, then there's something in that knowledge that'll carry you through. You understand? There's something in that knowledge that'll carry you through. And if you court Him, then eventually you can not only wear out the flesh, but the growing pool of agape inside of you will have a, it'll take on a willingness to do whatever he wants you to do. The rich young ruler, I don't know what happened to him. Maybe he got saved after Christ's ascension. I hope he did. I pray he did. I hope we meet him someday. I don't think he was necessarily a lost cause. That was very, it was wrong what he did right then. He chose money over Christ. If that was the, if that meant the end for him, then very few Christians are ever going to make it. Because there's thousands and thousands of Christians that are living born again. But how do I say this? It doesn't really make sense. Correct me if I'm wrong, Lord. They've been born again, but God is their, I mean, their money is their God. It really, it makes it, they're, you know, well, I don't, that doesn't sound correct if God's got to be your God to get to heaven, but yet they're serving money. Their choices are based on, you know, what they want to do and where they want to go and where they want to live and what they want to have, and it's like God's the last choice. So anyway, but if the rich young ruler, and my thoughts would have been, you remember the guy that the Lord said in Matthew chapter 17 when the Lord came down from the mountain and the disciples couldn't cast him out? And he said, do you believe? And he said, yeah, I'd believe, but God, you know, Lord, help my unbelief. And that was a faithful statement. In other words, the man said, I do believe, but there's something inside of me. If I'm going to be plain out honest with you, I don't totally believe. You know, because I've just watched these disciples, they couldn't do it. But there is an expectation in me. Look, if the rich young ruler would have said, Lord, I really don't want to. And my heart is not there. Maybe I could follow you around. Or maybe I could, so I'm saying it like this. If you court Jesus, it's like this. If you hang around that in the world, you can say this in a negative connotations with sin. If they, you know, people will say and preachers will say, and it bears repeating, if you hang around that slippery slope too long, you're going to fall in. Well, the same way is in the positive, in the righteous. If you court him, and if you spend time with him, and if every day ugliness is looking at you, and your ugliness is looking at you, and meanness is looking at you, and perversion is looking at you. But if you continue to court him, you are eventually going to fall in deeper in love with him. And you're going to intermingle yourself with the knowledge to say, you know what, I am going to fast. I am going to pray. Yes, it was done. Yes, my God, my God, my God. If we don't have the understanding that it was done at the cross, and our spirit man has already been endowed with enough power to say no to sin, then we're not yet on square one. But as long as we live in this body, for us to get to, your body's always going to challenge you. Well, fasting reinforces. It is the enforcer. It's like, you know, your spirit standing there, and your spirit saying to the flesh, the spirit and the flesh are nose to nose, eyeball to eyeball. And the flesh is saying, you cannot. You cannot go past this point. That's an impasse. And your spirit's saying, yes, I can. Well, Pastor Dave says praying in tongues is one thing, but the power to win to that is fasting. In other words, while your flesh is nose to nose, standing there, and you're having an argument with the flesh, when somebody, you know, steps up behind your spirit, big and robust with lots of muscles, it reinforces the position your spirit's already been declared, that your spirit's already really truly been made, and that's a dominion over. So I can sit there, I'm pushing that flesh back, and it's pushing me back. And yet, praise God for the power to win that can step up. So don't forget about that. Please don't forget about it. Add it continually to your journey. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to pray about it. Oh, don't pray about it. Don't fast during holidays. And don't fast during when it's your, you know, kid's birthday or your birthday. That's not going to get you any more brownie points. But I now if I'm going on a long one, a real long one, I will schedule that one. And I'll pray, you know, okay, Lord, let's, because I do want to, that's kind of, but anymore, the winds are like, I didn't even really think about it. Just, you know, Candy, tomorrow I won't be eating, or the next day I won't be eating, or this. I don't like, I'm not scheduling those. I'm just on a win. I'm just, that's, it's really my, actually, fasting is your choice. Unless, sometimes he'll come along and say, you know, you'll get it, you'll get the Holy Spirit speak to you. But fasting's really your choice. Just like praying in tongues is your choice. And that's intermingling yourself with all knowledge. And that's falling in love with him. That's courting him. That's romancing him. That's getting up and saying, I gotta have him. I gotta have him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So, hallelujah. One kiss from him will carry you for a long, long time. Hallelujah. Just like Miss Candy's love for me. Hallelujah. Carries me forever. Hallelujah. Don't fall into traps that you're not good enough. You can't do it. Praise the Lord. Expect. As I said, expect obstacles. Most of you that are sitting here, if you've been in Family Prayer Center for a good while, and most of you have been here for years, understand that obstacles and challenges and trials just go along with what we're on. It just does. And hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, you know, one of the things that I recently heard, I don't get to hear all the messages that comes out of the prayer center in Tulsa, but Gary, if you've listened to any of his recent messages, and he's done an excellent job on the flesh and those and along that lines. But he said one of the things that has really helped him is to come to I'm not going to say this exactly right. I'd have to listen to it again. It's a reconciliation. It's an understanding. It's a peaceful understanding. And I'll preface by saying it doesn't allow for sin. That's not what he said. But he came to a place of understanding that we're always going to be battling the flesh. In other words, the flesh is always until the day that we die. In other words, there's not going to be a point in the revival where you're not going to be tempted. And there's not going to be a point in the revival where crazy stuff doesn't just come to your mind. Man, I'll tell you what. I have laid in that office sometimes all day long and prayed and wept and had, I'm telling you that it felt like if somebody walked in there, it would raise the dead. It would be just beautiful, just wonderful. And tears would be streaming down and it wouldn't be emotions. It would be coming right out of my spirit. And yet, at the same time, I could realize that to my spiritual peripheral, in other words, something out there, there would be a something that if I allowed it to, would totally take me out of the spirit. It would be a weirdness. It would be a stupidness. It'd be a craziness of thought. In other words, don't think that you're ever, until you go home or the trumpet sounds, we're living in a flesh body. And you just have to make a continual day-by-day choice. If you think you're ever going to get a place where, oh my God, I'm sanctified now because I went 10 days in a row and I never had a bad thought. Don't hang around people like that because they lie. Oh, Pastor. No, I'm just telling you. Do you understand what I'm telling you? Don't hang around people that are so, you know, Okay. And I'm not talking about people talking negative. I'm just saying we're in a battle, but we win. We keep under our bodies continually. We keep under our minds continually. We walk in a place where we're continually falling head over heels in love with Jesus. We had several other scriptures, but we'll be kind to you, and I want you to love me, so we'll leave it at that. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we love you so much. We give you all the praise and glory, and we thank you that we are going from glory to glory with even more and more of the passion of your love. Lord, we think about that scripture in Ephesians that says that we would know the height, the depth, and the width, the breadth of your love, that we might be filled with the fullness of God. There truly is, Lord, to the man or to the woman that is seeking you, an expansion in their spirit of love, and a love for you, not just a love from you, but a love for you that will endure the test of time, that will, even if there's a failure, it comes back again and again and again and again and again and again and again. And so, Father, we just thank you and praise you. Fill our spirits, every one of us here, with such a sense of wanting and a desire to know Jesus, to fellowship with him and get so intimate with him that this race is run in joy and peace and long-suffering. We give you all the praise and glory, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. We will see you Friday night. Amen.